Thank you. Wow. I feel excited. I feel moved. I feel like, wow, God, you're doing great things. I just want to pray. I'd love you to join me. I'd love you to actually all to stand, just as a gesture right now of acknowledging God's presence, a gesture of being one people tonight in this room. If you'd like to do that with me, I'd love you to stand. So, Father, tonight we want to do that. We want to just humbly stand before you and just say, wow, God, you are so great, and what you're doing is wonderful. Lord, we thank you for being part of a very big, expansive and advancing kingdom. Lord, how good that is. How good it is to be part of a big church community, and how good it is, Lord, to be part of this particular community. Lord, I just thank you for everybody in the room tonight. I thank you, God, for the futures and destinies and plans that you have. I thank you, God, that your purposes are not going to be thwarted. Lord, we are seeking in faith to go forward and to advance, and Lord, to open up our eyes to what you're doing. So we give you thanks. You are truly a miracle God. Isn't that right? You are a miracle God. Can I hear an amen? You are a miracle God. And Lord, there's nothing you cannot do. And these are good times to be alive on the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good. So good. I'm going to sit, so hopefully I don't block this screen too much. Can everybody see? Once again, I just need my standby man, Nick, just to help me get this the right slide here. Thanks, Nick. Can we thank Richard and Nick? I want to get that one there. Is it locked up or something? We're there. Okay. I'll probably hold one anyway. It's kind of. Thank you. We're just stuck. We have a slide sticking.
It's over on the screen behind you.
I want to get this one. Can you turn in your Bibles just while we're organising this to the book of Habakkuk? And it's a bit of an unusual book to. But if you have an iPhone Bible, it's pretty easy. If you have the old fashioned Bible, maybe not as easy. What's the time? Can anybody help me? Okay, all right. We can do this. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 12 and verse 13 and verse 14. As I read these verses, I think this speaks specifically to some of the things John showed us on the screen. So Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 12, it says, "Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed." Who can you think of right now who is seeking to build something with bloodshed? Woe to him who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts. It is not what evil perpetrators like Putin are doing is not of the Lord of hosts. That the peoples labour to feed the fire and nations weary themselves in vain. Can anybody hear what's resonate with that? What a clear picture I think this is. But then verse 14 is where we're landing in faith right now. For the earth will be filled. This is the Lord speaking. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That completely fills me with hope and with vision. And indeed, if we can change slides here. Thank you, Nick. No, it's okay. We're good. I'm just catching up on myself. It fills me with a sense that there is a destiny and God's in charge. The destiny word, if you're looking for a proof text to which I believe captures with certainty what the Lord will do. It's the Lord speaking. I'm going to do this. I will fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. I could feel, could you feel that sense just as we were looking at these stories and hearing what's going on? There's just that sense of, wow, look, it's not there yet, but God's moving, isn't he? And in the face of the like serious, chronically, all the negative adjectives you can think of that are descriptive of what's going on right now, not just in the Ukraine, but many parts of the globe, where evil still is running riot. The Lord is saying the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So amen to that. And we're going to talk for a few minutes about the challenge, really part of the challenge for how that happens. So let me try to summarize like this. Does anybody ever feel like life is often very messy? Does anybody feel like life is difficult sometimes? Does anybody feel specifically that relationships can be difficult and hard, right? Really? In even the last, week or two, just in our own... This is a podcast, so I'm not going to talk in detail, but it's not about here. If I can just make that kind of... make it clear, but just in different spaces. We've just been aware, well, Lord, relationships can be very difficult sometimes. It can be messy. And it can be almost the thing that can feel, last time, I remember at this night, we put up a picture of sculpture by the sea. And Remember that thing? And this guy had just his guts literally blown out. You know what that feels like, some of you, don't you? When you're just in the middle of something that is so, so devastating, so gut-wrenching, so it's like you are gutted, literally. Life is difficult. However, my three D words, if you know me a little bit, you know that I'm end up with alliteration sometimes. But there is a design... There's a destiny. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And in the middle of the design is, if we want to just look at what I think, just to build up my story before we continue any further, the design I would put to you is supported by this key text that God says, I'm going to make you in my image. So you have a design. You actually have an intended design. The people that sometimes you don't get on with have an intended design. They are made in the image. God says, let us make man. Man, that is not a word that is for the male gender. Man is descriptive of mankind. Let us make man in our image. There's a design. There's a destiny. We know how the story ends. The earth will be filled. That is a declarative, confident statement from God who, when he says that's his will, it's his will and it will happen. Is it happening now? No. Is it like when you're in the car with your kids and you're traveling interstate like we've done many times and it's like, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. But nights like tonight, do they not give us a lot to rejoice in that God is doing things across the earth and they are glorious, right? It's a glorious thing when the nations are getting together in the Jewish ghetto that John quoted and they're getting together to see how they can work for the benefit of a nation, that's glorious. It's glorious when five churches meet in this building, even though right now they're not necessarily worshipping together. It's glorious tomorrow morning when Yass Baptist Church will be in the middle of something where there'll be several churches gathering across the region. By the way, Keith, whose picture you saw, he's preaching on the power of we. Isn't that a good thing, the power of we? So God is doing things. So in the middle of design, on the way to destiny, I'm using the word diligent. That word to me speaks to the fact that there is a purposefulness that we are called to participate in the purposefulness of God. We're called, I'm putting it to you tonight in our Hive Hub, we're called to partner with God's purposes. When God says, I will do something, Every skerrick of our body and soul and every nerve, every cell is called to enjoin with him and say, amen, I want that and I'll be part of that. Do you follow what I'm saying? So there is a diligence that we're called to. So the reason I use the word diligent, and we're going to talk about some things tonight that can help us be diligent, but I put it to you on the way through to a 6:30 close that Jesus has been completely diligent to fulfill the purposes that he was given. You know that, don't you? Jesus did everything the Father wanted, and Jesus completely lived to do what the Father wanted. The Bible says of Jesus that he only ever did and moved where he saw the Father moving. That is the perfect heart relationship of diligence. Jesus has been diligent. I'm going to go to a story that is, in fact, I'll just go back one notch here. Sorry, guys. What slides up there? Oh, that's all right. So here's the problem. The problem is different. Why are relationships difficult sometimes? Because that other person is so different to me. Can anybody identify with that? Why is there intercultural challenge? Why are there world wars? And why are there... Why do nations not get on with nations? There's a problem of evil underlying it, but nonetheless, there's an issue with difference, is there not often? Relationships that break down, it's because I just do not get you. You are so different to me. I don't understand how you think. How could you even say that? I don't get you. There's a problem of different. Now, where we're going in this quick talk to you guys is to talk about how we deal with different. Nick, I'm stuck, please. Sorry, I've just lost this. Would you just mind scrolling down for me? So I'm going to talk about the word encounter. Thank you. Have you ever had an experience where you've been with somebody and you just feel like that person gets me? Have you ever had that experience where you feel like, wow, right now I'm feeling like I'm being listened to. Right now I'm feeling like I'm known. Right now I'm feeling like someone actually has seen me. Right now I feel like I have a voice and I'm being listened to. All of those things are things that I believe as followers of Jesus we're called to be diligent about. But before we even talk about how that even goes, I want to remind us how beautiful and wonderful Jesus is, because he's the one who has actually met us. He's offered to meet us. Jesus sees us. He knows us. He understands us. And indeed, Jesus loves us before we even think about loving him. We don't have a heap of time to go into this story, but it's an absolutely classic of Jesus loving people. It's the story of Nathanael, and it's in John chapter 1. It's on the screen. The Bible says that Jesus saw Nathanael sitting under the fig tree. Who's been to Israel? I mean, yeah, I have, and I can just kind of picture this scene. But Jesus met Nathanael in this beautiful way. I'm putting it to you that the power of encounter really is the thing. If there's anything that you would go home with tonight, it would be that you would have a fresh encounter with Jesus, that you would offer him the space to meet with you again, that you would be met. I have this kind of thought has come out of some sessions I've had with my counsellor, and he said to me, David, I can just hear, look, you have a need to be met. And I thought, wow, that's so true. In that moment, I thought, I do. And this man was just looking at me, completely focused on me, completely listening to every nuance of what I was saying. He was paraphrasing back to me what I had just said. And I thought, this man is listening and he gets me and he knows me. That's who Jesus is. Next level Jesus. So in the process of my thinking, if you want to follow my mind map, this is what I'm saying. There's a destiny. God's glory will cover the earth, will fill the earth. There's a design. There's this big problem. There's this gap because we are so different to one another. But in the middle of that is Jesus, who actually knows us, meets us, sees us. So why do I use the word diligence? Well, here's a verse in Ephesians. It says, with diligence, preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I put it to you, the scriptures are really clear. We are called to partner with and be intentional in the things that matter to God's heart. And this is one of those things, that there would be a desire to preserve the unity of the Spirit. So a couple of practical ways that we can be diligent. You've probably heard of love languages. We're going to cover some quick tools that can help you to bridge different. Right? If different is in your world, and it must be, because let's be honest, there's so much different. But here's the thing, different people with different personalities give and receive love in different ways. There's three difference in one sentence, I think. Who is familiar with love languages? Probably most of you are. I would encourage you, I was just so gobsmacked to research last week, and just be aware how many incredible, easily accessed tools there are that you guys can find. We're going to put a blog out next week on the Hive website, and we'll have some links, but there's an app you can download. Even if you think you know what your love languages are, and even if you think that the you know, special people in your world, you know what their love, I would say do this stuff again. Just do a refresher. Because there's acts of service, as you would know, there's receiving gifts, there's quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch. Eve will tell you, for one, we'd both say this, when we first came across this kind of model, it revolutionised, didn't it, babe, our world, and back in the Newcastle days. But I've also learnt there's 5 apology languages. Did you know that? I did not. And once again, I say to you, isn't it a problem? Different is such a problem. I didn't realise there are so many different ways that people can feel forgiven or not, or feel that they have mended a relationship or not. Each one of us has a preferred apology language that may differ from the people we love. Once again, there's an app you can download, and it can actually help you work out what is your preferred apology language. I've never thought of this, but here's what they are. Some people do not feel as if forgiveness has been transacted by the person who's hurt them unless that person has actually requested forgiveness. Other people are more concerned with what they would consider to be an expression of regret. Do you understand? That's the thing that they're wanting to hear. Regret, 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 regret. Not just a simple thing, oh, would you forgive me? Others would say they don't feel that there's a genuine forgiveness going on unless there is a clear plan from the person who has wronged them to say, this is how I will change and this is how I will set about not doing it again. Do you follow? And then someone else might say, I just need to hear that you accept you were responsible for this thing. And unless I hear that, I don't feel as if you really want to, us to mend our relationship. Others, all they want to know is some kind of restitution. Like, there's got to be a payment that person makes. Isn't this gold? Don't you think? So there's tools. These are things that we can be more diligent in, I'm proposing to you tonight, that we can bridge the gap between design and destiny. Because God, there's a glorious day coming when there will be the people of God will be so resplendently exhibiting who God is. The Bible talks about Zion. Zion, in this context, is not a city, a literal city, and not a geographical place. It's where God's people are and where God dwells in the midst of his people. It will be glorious. How does that glory come? It comes when we are diligent in our pursuit. Another verse in Hebrews actually says, pursue unity. These are all very proactive, strong words. They are action words. They're not passive words. That's how we get to this destination. So personality types. Once again, how many of you have some familiarity with personality types? Any particular models out there that you guys would quote that you are familiar with? Anybody? Briggs-Meyer, exactly. That's a good one. And there's, I think, with Briggs-Meyer, there's 16 different personality types. Any other personality type models? Anybody? Anybody been involved with the Enneagram model? Yep. Once again, there's a multiplicity of websites and tools. For simplicity, we're going just to talk about one model. And sorry, Nick, I'm just back in the zone of just needing to scroll. Thank you very much. And the other man. So thank you. So this is the one that Eve and I first kind of got introduced to. And there is many, many books. There's one by somebody you might have come across, Florence Litteau, who's an American woman who wrote a lot of stuff about temperaments. But the one you may be familiar with is the sanguine, choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic. They're funny words. They're not necessarily current words in language, but perhaps another way to say them is this. There's the socializer. I think that could be John Locke here. What do you think? the connector person, relationship orientated, outgoing, enthusiastic. There is the director, who is the version of the choleric. By the way, the word sanguine is descriptive of the socializer. The choleric person is the leader, the director, goal-orientated, risk-taking, good under stress. Then there is the, perhaps another way to talk about the melancholic person is a thinker, a detail-orientated person, a logical person, a prepared person. If you're not that person, don't you hate those people? I'm kidding a little bit, but isn't that the truth? And then there is the phlegmatic, or in this particular language of the model, the supporter, the person who's task-orientated, who is stable, who's cautious. So here's the thought. I put it to you, we're called to be diligent. Now, if tonight I had a live object lesson, I could have a little bowl of olive oil and I could have a little beacon of water. And you know where I'm going with this. You know that if you put those two things together, they're so different, they do not mix, right? And that's the truth. Very, very different. Now, out in the car park, most of us came in a motor car tonight. And in your car, there is oil and there's water and there's also a heap of plastic and there's also, what else? There's metal and there's, a range of different things. And there is a designer who actually designed that car. That car is designed for all those components to actually work together and to become one whole, one purposeful whole. And as you know, cars are not just intended to sit in the car park, because tonight we're going to get in them and start them up and go somewhere. Cars have are designed to help us get to our destinations. They are linked to destiny. There's something that God, I believe, is calling us to do, to focus on this destiny. Look, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. It's going to be better than you can imagine. It's going to be better than I can imagine. And we will see that. We will see that. Why? Because God said, I will do this. We're going to see it. It's not automatic, and there is a call for us, I believe, to engage, engage again. My salute to each of you for the different ways that you give and engage, and the complexity of the worlds that you're in, the relationships that you're in. I know this is already happening, but I believe we're just stepping in to the beginning of what God is doing in and from this community. It's not just us, right? It's happening in many different spaces. But I'm looking forward to more reports, more testimonies, more evidences that God is filling the earth with his glory. And for me and my house, we want to keep joining to that, and we're calling you guys to keep joining to that. So that's it. Amen. And over to Evie.